KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
I am your host for Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
And I am your other host, and I guess you're nameless, so I'll say my name.
I was going to jump in and say...
That's Aura.
And I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
That's how we do.
My headphones are like going in and out, and it's freaking me out.
Whatever, man.
Luckily,
we're all in the same room.
Less drugs or more drugs before they go. That's always my advice.
We were gone last week. Last week's show... Rich, you missed it, but last week's show
and I guess we missed it too,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Well, it was a repeat of the prior week's show, and I had fun talking about how we weren't going to have a show next week and realizing it was going to play the following week when we didn't have a show, saying we weren't having a show next week, which is this week.
Oh, nice.
When we do have a show. Anyway, I had a hard time wrapping my brain around the time warp.
Broke the time-space continuum.
In my brain, yeah.
Nice.
So we're back for real now. If you're hearing my voice now, then you're hearing it live, and if you're hearing it now, while listening to a podcast, you're not hearing it live. See? More time warp. See how I do that?
Oh, my God.
This is fantastic technology we have these
days. It's cognizance of time shifting that makes it very difficult to proceed in this job. So, anyway, thank you, dear listener, for listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. If you want to learn more about our show, there's not that much there, but you can join in the live chat and see a little bit of what we do at chatterboxgameshow.com. And let's talk about video games, or more precisely, the video game industry. We went to GDC last week.
Or even more precisely, that's right, Game Developers Conference.
There's so much stuff to talk about. One thing I really want to discuss, actually, doesn't have much to do with the GDC.
Does it have something to do with boobs? Because I'd like to talk about boobs.
We will definitely talk about boobs later, but what I want to talk about is EEDAR, the EEDAR. I'm going to save that for a bit later. I'm just going to mention it. They're the people who... People or person... supposedly the analyst services company that talked about GameStop, Amazon used prices. And that's not something we're going to actually discuss. I'm just going to make fun of this EEDAR a little bit and tell you about the emails that I've received as, I guess, a professional in the video game industry, as I am. I guess all of us here are. That's funny, right, Rich?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention because I was talking in chat.
All right.
Like I said.
Excellent radio.
Like I said.
I was totally smack-talking Rare in this chat.
Professional.
He's like, in and out of the classroom. Couldn't be bothered to pay attention.
Okay. So you want to talk about boobs. We also want to talk about GDC. I want to talk about World Gaming.
World Gaming?
Okay. WorldGaming.com.
Don't know what that is, but you'll educate us.
Skilled wagering on games. So if you're good, you can make money.
That's right.
From your own home.
If there's not enough things to wager on, if you're a kid and you can't find enough things to wager on, now there's more.
Well, wagering and betting are different things.
Ooh.
Apparently.
So what's wagering?
Okay.
Wagering is legal
and,
under the age of 18?
Wagering is risking money, but not on random events or not on something that you don't have control of. In this instance, you have control of it because you're the person playing the game.
Okay.
It's a tournament. It's like putting money into a tournament.
So like Pete Rose, in other words.
So there's a lot of things.
I guess.
Oh, wait, so you have to have control over it personally for it to be considered
it's
wagering?
It's like me telling you, hey, we're going to go play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Super Nintendo fighting game.
Yeah.
And whoever wins gets to keep the money.
Okay.
So I play, you play, the winner takes the money. So it's not gambling. There's no randomness involved.
Not gambling?
You are not familiar with this.
He's making a subtle distinction here, which perhaps you cannot grasp, some of our
It's not subtle at all. It defines the difference between legal and illegal in most states.
Okay. But it's based on random events.
It's not random, dude.
When you do a wager, it's not based on random events.
This wagering is it's risking money, but it's not something that you do not have control over.
It's putting your money where your mouth is.
Okay.
Yeah. So betting on a horse that I'm not riding. All right.
Right.
That may not even be random, but it's something I can't control.
Right. But then if you are the horse,
then poker playing is wagering, not gambling.
That's correct. And poker playing is not illegal. It's only illegal when the people who have no control over it take a rake. So if I have a poker game at my house and I take a dollar from every bet, that's illegal. But if
Why?
I have a poker game, Don't ask me, man. It's the law.
And what if you invite a rake over to your house?
Is it illegal then? Why is it illegal for me to use my cell phone on an airplane? Right, Rich?
Yeah. That was a good conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, the house taking money is illegal unless it's, you know, at a sanctioned casino.
Lame.
But it's not illegal to play poker at my house when I just have friends over and whoever wins takes the money.
Is it legal just to charge them for an entrance to the house? I think that should be legal.
I believe it is. You can make a club.
It's kind of like when you go to a kegger, you charge for the cup, not the beer.
I actually know of a place in Phoenix where you pay a certain amount of money and the house does get money, but it's not based on a poker game. It's on like the club evening or something. Yeah.
Is it a brothel?
Yeah. No. Anyway.
Had to try.
Getting back to video games.
All right.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the skilled wagering, and I had this big, long meeting. Well, it wasn't big, but it was a long meeting with the World Gaming people. And yeah.
Well,
I'm
let's just talk about it right now, since they're already talking
about it.
All
right, so worldgaming.com. I haven't actually been to the website since the meeting that I had. If you were to go there, here's what sucks. Can't do it in Arizona.
Okay, so why? What, is this some Puritan state?
Yeah.
Much unlike our northern neighbors somehow?
So can't we just go through a proxy?
Do we have to start a club system
like
in Utah?
No, but
like
you have to pay money, and the money has to come from an account, and that account is probably going to have real data on it related to your location.
PayPal, man.
Yeah, if you can get PayPal of a relative or something and use their account.
Who needs what?
I did ask them when they check for your location.
I think you have a bank account in Illinois.
They do IP checks. But you can just go through proxy, but you'll have to use a bank account or PayPal that is external to your state. So anyway, there's 9 states that have these old blue laws on them that their lawyers didn't feel comfortable enough allowing.
What's the site again?
Worldgaming.com.
And I guess we're lucky enough in Arizona to be one of those.
We're one of those, yeah.
We're also one of the states that you can't have alcohol delivered to your door at as well. I know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
But you can't have marijuana delivered to
your
door.
Well, you know, Michaela wanted to get some vodka that she tried in San Francisco.
Yeah, you can't
order over the internet.
You can't order alcohol.
It
can't be delivered to houses. Because I know the Wine Woot, I was looking at that, because they had a couple bottles that were awesome. But
she had this...
in Arizona.
This key lime martini.
Yeah.
You remember this,
yes. Yes.
All right.
She might be able to order it through
Laced
BevMo
with cocaine,
and then
probably.
Pick it up at the store.
That'd be
which
cool.
is why she enjoyed it so much,
All
I
right.
think.
So, World Gaming, getting back to this, worldgaming.com, head over to it.
$80,000.
I may have one of the founders on the show to interview them later to talk more about it, but very simply put, it's a website. They've actually done a very good job with it, at least from what I saw, assuming that it does what I saw. And I actually saw them set up a match, connect with somebody, and actually play a match, like all in a period of 10 minutes.
Did they win
during
or
this
lose?
Meeting. He actually won.
And what was the wager?
$4. That 10% goes to World Gaming, so it was a 360 was the pot.
So they do take
put
a rate.
$2. They do.
Yes.
But again, it's on skill. There's no randomness involved. Well, that goes in poker. Yeah, I don't know. Their lawyers seem to think it's okay.
Okay. Well,
listen,
sure.
I don't care about that part. They're also offering a service of the matchmaking.
Here's a really big question I have is. I would not even want to touch this thing unless I was supremely confident in my ability to just crush all comers.
Yeah, and you might not want to. That's fine. So here's how it works. There are some issues, but they seem to actually be doing a good job at managing them.
Right, but my point is, right, is that, for example, if you're going to hustle someone in pool, right, you have – usually when you're going to wager on your performance in some kind of game, you – typically have an idea of, okay, well, I have a sense of how good this person is, and then so now I'm going to bet against him. So where do you get that from in this system, right? Is it just like, oh, I'm going to bet $4, random person? It might be, oh, the designer of Street Fighter 4 who's going to kick my butt now.
I actually brought this up. I mentioned to them, they're like, well, you want, you know, because there's ranking involved.
Right.
All right, so let me just start describing it, and we'll get into it. We'll probably go into second segment, because I'm so interested by this topic. So, we both have IDs on PS3 and on Xbox, right?
Yeah.
We have identities there. All right. This is not for PC use, although eventually they're going to integrate games directly into the website for, like, crappy stuff, like, reversey and hearts and spades and whatever. But right now it's consoles, PS3 and Xbox only.
Yeah. No, that won't be random
and
outcomes.
The only
all.
Games that they only support, like, 9 or 13 games or something. And it's games that specifically provide match data for free, you know, externally through the web, so that they can you don't go to them and say, I won this match. Because like right now, you can go onto forums or wherever and just be like, hey, I'll play you. And then whoever wins, you know, PayPal gets the money from PayPal.
Right, right. And good luck with that one.
But yeah, exactly. Right. So this service, I'll try to boil it down. Website, everybody creates their identity on the website. They also have their identity on PS3 and their identity on Xbox 360, you know, Xbox Live. They go on to here, and the website is connected to their IDs. Right? It knows what their ID is. So you can see somebody else who has, let's say, Madden, right? Yeah. Whatever version of Madden. And there are certain game types in Madden, and their website knows what game types are available, so what they can receive data on and could eventually, you know, have a wager involved. And I'll use the example actually that I saw in the office. NHL, there's something called a shootout where you just shoot the puck at the goalie, right? It's not a whole game.
Right.
And they say, we're going to have a shootout at this particular time. And it was like 10 minutes in the future. Do you want to take it? The guy said, yes. They wagered and it said, okay, you have a game scheduled at this time. I'll talk more about this when we get back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, where we talk about boobs and video games and drugs, and it's
we haven't actually talked about boobs yet.
Not yet.
But I mentioned the
except
word.
Except to reference that we will.
At least twice. And so really that warrants
what we do talk inclusion. About is sponsors, like the University of Advanced Technology. UAT.edu is where you can go to learn about the University of Advanced Technology. So I'm going to try and talk about this world gaming without bumbling from like topic to topic. I'm going to try and wrap it up in a sensible way. I was saying during my meeting, as an example, they're on the website, signed into whatever account they were signed into. And he says to someone else who plays NHL 09 or whatever by EA, says, hey, I want to have a shootout. And, you know, for $2 each, which compounds to four.
Right.
At 4 o'clock, right? It was about 1 p.m. West Coast.
Okay. What if the guy doesn't show up? Forfeit?
I think it goes back to the people, unless the guy like doesn't show up a number of times. I asked them about this.
Yeah.
And eventually they might start instituting for someone like they keep record of each person.
Right.
Kind of like if.
So they're like, oh, this guy's an a-hole. Now we're.
Let's say you
do
work for a company that provides a subscription service to someone or a consistent service. To a customer, right?
Yeah.
And they have lots of interactions with the customer. You keep records of them. There's a whole concept of a CRM, right? A customer resource manager or custom whatever.
Okay.
And so you keep track of each interaction with the person. And so they keep track of this. They have a full management system, supposedly, for the customers. And if they see that some person, you know, claims, oh, the electricity went out. Because they were losing, right?
Right.
So they can tell who got disconnected or who disconnected it, when it got disconnected, all that stuff. And, you know, they'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They'll be really nice. They'll give the money back to both parties and not take their fee, which most companies would, like, take their service fee and just give back whatever's left.
Yeah, that's rather honorable.
In a situation like that. And then, you know, if a habitual pattern appears with someone, then they'll stop being so nice.
And they'll call it, say, right. They're going to call you. They'll say, you are an
what's important is they're actually taking phone calls from people. Right, they're not just leaving it up and not knowing what they're doing. They seem to have customer support involved, which
that's very important.
Isn't so sustainable if it becomes huge. And I have concerns about that, which is something I might talk to them about if we interview them. But without asking the questions of the one-off or the weird situations, let me tell you how it works ideally. On the website, signs up, says, hey, let's have a shootout. The guy did say, he did agree to it, say, yeah, let's do that. We'll do it at 4 p.m., which was 1 p.m. for us on the West Coast. So they went into the lobby, the guys I was with went into the lobby, and they waited for the other guy to appear. When he appeared, they said, okay, let's join and play. And then they played the shootout. The guy that was in the room I was in won the shootout. And so within about a minute, that data was available on the web. The website automatically noticed that there was a shootout that existed between these two people with these results at about that time and immediately distributed the funds. to the winner, right? And so it keeps him an account.
Right. So do you have to give him cash? You have to keep a cash account with them, or what? Credit or money's no good with us.
They hold their own account, yeah. Right? So I don't know the
margin,
back end.
Can you get a margin account?
No. So on the back end, like, I don't know how they deal with their finances specifically. That's not really important. But I know that you can fund it with PayPal. You can fund it with a credit card. The minimum funding amount is $20 because of stuff like credit card transaction fees. And people are used to that because of Xbox and Live and things like that. And honestly, if you're going to be wagering, $20 isn't that huge a number, right? If you're going to bet $1,
well,
$2, $3.
Unless you're incredibly cheap.
But what's
like
cool
me.
Is, yeah, but you can set your own amount, what you want to bet. And they said, like, the biggest amount ever bet on a single game was a pot of, I think it was $180 each.
That's
not that big.
Not that big, really.
Right. And if you go to the website now, it says so far $80,677 has been won through World Gaming tournaments. And I don't know if that's restricted just to tournaments or not. They have some free play tournaments, too. Yeah. You can end up winning money without ever putting money in. And there's this whole concept of, like, poker tournaments. You can seed low and end up in something that wins big. Or they also have these tournaments where all you have to do is win a single match and everybody gets paid out who didn't lose the first match, right? And so they said, like, in a $10 tournament, they had some payout structures where you won like $9 point some for just winning your first match. And that can be done because in a tournament, right, let's say there's 16 people, only 8 people would have won the first match, right?
Right.
So you're able to do that. And then – so they have more staggered. It's not just the first place takes a huge pot.
That sounds pretty cool. If I knew that, you know, if I won one round, I'd get some money, yeah, I'd play.
Yeah. And, I mean, like I said, it's not huge amounts, but it could be. And certainly as it gets bigger and more popular, it will be. But my point is they've done a very good job of actually implementing the website. Like, we've talked about – all right, so there's need from the community for something like this. Use the word need loosely.
Need, because we're all compulsive gamblers who have
no
money burning
the
holes
point
in
is
our pockets.
There's a
wagers.
Desire, and players are meeting that desire through one way or another.
Yes.
But it's not a very efficient way to do it. Like, the way that exists right now is just meeting people and hoping there's honesty and no arguments over how things worked, like if there's a disconnect or something, and just hoping everything goes well. This system automates quite a bit of it. It performs a lot of the matchmaking, and the website actually is competent. And there was a whole time when they had their website built, and it wasn't good enough, and they scrapped it and didn't release for like a year. It's actually still beta right now. So anyway, it looks like it could potentially be successful. I'm going to put it that way, because in the past we found a need from consumers for like video game trading. Like, we talked about PlaySwitch and other people, you know, we've brought them up several times.
Mm-hmm.
They're not successful because they don't get the exposure they need. These guys, I guess, have, you know, had exposure in a lot of big places. And they actually have a website that works well. Now, there is a clear disconnect between them and the console manufacturers, and the people who control those networks, right? They're not directly in bed with Microsoft or with EA, so their system isn't built into the games. If it were, it would be much, much better. Right now, there's a disconnect where that match still has to happen, right? Otherwise,
right.
What happens? The data doesn't appear.
I couldn't imagine that any of the console manufacturers would go with this.
No, though. I don't think so either. But a lot of publishers have gone ahead with tournaments that involve money. Like, you can go to a lot of bars and find EA games, Madden and hockey and all that stuff, playable for money. In just bars or various places across the country.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them are sponsored actually by the game companies.
Right. No, culturally, tournaments are all good if there's money given away, but just framing it as, you know, wagering, you know, on a one-on-one match, that starts to, I don't know, somehow seem to get into the more slimy territory.
I'm with you, but ultimately it's all about the dollar and it's about marketing. And it gets people to buy the game. It also extends the life of the game. Like, traditionally, Madden is played up to the Super Bowl, and then you, like, the online matches, which kind of measure like how much people are gaming for that game, with that game, it just totally takes a dive right after the Super Bowl.
I want to see the celebrity version of this. I want to see, let's say, who are the most richest celebrities that spend money like it's going out of style? Rappers. I want to see rappers go at it with insane amounts of money wagered against each other, and then they should record the match and televise it.
That would be interesting.
And then that would be lots of fun.
Of course, then they should say the losers just give the money to charity or something.
And the losers get beat up.
Anyway, you can make money on this. And I really should sign up, because you can sign up in Arizona. You just can't fund it. So you could play in the free tournaments and stuff like that and win prizes. And they'll have this – they're working on developing a point system so you can actually trade points in for prizes and things. And you can refer people. So I should sign up and then refer people so that I get the bonus. Unfortunately, I didn't do that before the show, so I can't give you an account to refer to. So nobody sign up right now. Maybe next week I'll have an account and I can refer you.
And you get what, like $250?
No, like
$5. $350?
$5 out of each person.
All right.
Anyway, point is, it could be actually very interesting, and I'm curious to know if any of our listeners choose to do it. I'd like to hear your stories about it, how it went.
And how much you're willing to wager.
It's going to be small amounts, right? Nobody's secure about this just yet. But if it gets that brand, that branding, and a lot of acceptance of the service, then certainly you'll see higher wagers. They also have, like, gambling prevention, where they don't gamble too much, right? they like, called up a dude who was losing a bunch of money in a short period of time. Like, they said, like, in a couple of days, he lost, like, $1,200 or something. They called him up to be like, hey,
that's really bad.
Are you sure you're trying to do this? Like, nobody took your card. Nobody's been funding, whatever. And he's like, dude, that's not much money to me. And they're like, all right. If you're into that, you know, some people $5 is a lot of money. Some people, you know, $10,000 is not a lot of money. So he was cool with that, and he's kind of like pissed that they even called him.
Well, if you're horrendously rich, then you might be.
So look forward to an interview from one of the world gaming guys in the future. If I get off my butt, I might actually set that up. But I'm curious if any of our listeners get into that. Of course, you can't be in Arizona.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah. We only got like a minute or so left. I just wanted to give you guys a little snippet here, something I found kind of entertaining. Just to show you how obsessed the Japanese really are with Lolita, okay?
Oh,
and what's Lolita? Lolita is the fetish of the little schoolgirls.
Yes.
Yes, named after, you know, the famous movie and so on. So, all right, so there's a shooter.
It's a book originally, but
I was gonna say,
yes, I know.
First.
I have to keep current
I'm just
with
saying
the kids these
based
days.
Off the
kids
book.
Don't know that books exist.
Oh, okay.
All right, so there's this 360 shooter, right? It's called Death Smiles, right? And it's a gothic Lolita shooter, right? And they were going to bring
up Lolita shooter?
Yes. This is Japan.
How does that genre even exist?
All right, crap. We're running out of time anyway.
We've got time left. We just got to wait for a break.
No, I'm going to say this afterward because it's going to cut me off halfway through. So.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Oh my god, we're back! Chatterbox Video Game Radio!
We're back and it's the right time now to talk about...
We're going to talk about that Lolita shooter.
Gothic Lolita shooter. Now, those of you who are not
well-versed...
Does
that mean you're shooting Lolita? And what are you shooting her with?
Well, this was about to say. Those of you who are not well-versed in the video game vernacular may think, what a horrible thing. You're shooting gothic Lolitas in a game. What does that even mean? No, it's a 2D shooter. It's old-school style shooter. You're not actually shooting people.
It's
not like
2D?
Not like I care anyway.
Those screens were 3D.
What do you mean screens? This is freaking art, dude.
Oh, all right. Art? It looked like a screenshot.
How dare you question my authority?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so here's a couple of little snippets that I'll entertain you guys with. So the guy who designed the characters of the game, his name's Junya Inoue. And so they made a sequel to this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now usually sequels take about, you know, a year or two later, sometime after, you know, the original, because, you know,
yeah,
happens,
usually,
right?
At least a year.
And then he said, but no, not for Death Smiles 2.
Okay.
Okay, in Death Smiles 2, the game takes a month after the first game. And now why a month, you may ask? Well, it's because... If it wasn't a month, if it was any longer, they'd have to age the characters and, quote, we can't have that.
Wait. The sequel literally came out a month later?
No. In Story World.
Oh, in Story
in Storyland,
World. Oh, okay.
The sequel takes place
I was like,
a month
how
later.
How did they get... Okay. Yeah. That doesn't really matter.
So the 9 and 10-year-old girls, still 9 and 10-year-old girls.
That's very important.
Now, absolutely, absolutely. The Japanese are very serious about their games. And now, the original name, it was called Death Smiles eventually, but actually, the original name that they wanted to have was Death Lolitas. But they were a little concerned that that arcade operators, this was actually an arcade game originally, would not be too keen on that. So, okay, fine, Death Smiles, which sounds cool too. So, that's it. That's what I got for that.
That's all you wanted to say?
For that one. Now let's talk about boobs.
See, I thought we were talking about boobs.
We also want to talk about OnLive. I also wanted to talk about EDAR.
Yeah, we can get to that.
But boobs are much more important.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this game called Arkrise Fantasia, right? It's a Japanese game, obviously. Mm-hmm. So this is apparently this is the Japanese segment. And I found this really interesting because there's a character design in that game where she is wearing this, you know, space bikini thingy, which the Japanese love to design the space bikinis.
Space bikini.
And it's showing a little bit of the underboob. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have seen
actually,
this.
Actually, it's showing quite a bit of underboob.
It's a lot of underboob.
I mean, there has been more underboob shown in pictures before.
Yeah.
You probably have to go a little ways before you get to the nipple. But it's no insignificant amount, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, is that a good characterization? Maybe you guys can
approximate the percentage of
the mammary glands that are exposed.
There was some art from Soul Calibur of Ivy that had a bit more underboob than that.
Okay, so there we go. There's a reference point for you guys. And apparently, in order to get this game rated the rating they wanted it to be, you know, what's equivalent for equivalent to E for everyone. Now, this is a Japan release so mm-hmm. far only. Is that apparently they had to add a small amount of bikini material so that now instead of having the entire underboob, now I see only this small oblong section of underboob in mm-hmm. the cleavage area, which of course is the most important area to show anyway. And so I just find this interesting because
still erotic.
It's
still
yes.
I mean, so sexy.
We were having a conversation before about it where you know, Alon, you were like, well, you know, this one, if you just look at it, the one with the slightly larger bikini is, you know, could pass for a knee game. And you said this one is obviously softcore porn, right?
They're both pretty much softcore porn.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Here's the thing. One of them I look at and I think, video game. Trying to be really hot, the bottom one with the coverage.
Yeah, it's Japanese.
And the other one I said, this is clearly going to lead to a sex scene.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's what I thought.
I find this interesting because the actual difference between the two pictures is really rather minimal.
But you got to understand, I'm an adult content connoisseur.
Indeed. And I think many of us are, and perhaps even some listeners as well. But, you know, if somebody who was perhaps of an older generation looked at these, I think they would find absolutely no difference. I think that we've been exposed so much to creatively small pieces of clothing that, I don't know, to us I think it seems like it's almost no difference. And certainly I will say that the less clothing one is definitely more attractive. Definitely more sexually aroused.
Definitely more whorish.
Definitely more whorish, although, yeah, okay, sure.
What we've learned is that we are attracted to whores.
I mean, yeah, but, I mean, come on. Like, even the other one, it has four holes in it. This is a bikini with four different holes.
As opposed to just three.
As opposed to three.
As opposed to three with major underboob.
But really, like, the last hole is just a hole that never ends, pretty much. But where are we even going with this?
I don't know. It's a minuscule difference, but it's enough.
It's okay. Well, really, I mean,
have they actually said that this is what was needed to get an E rating, or was it just they made the change?
Well, they probably said a little bit less boob. And
this is an article on Kotaku, so it's ostensibly what was being tried to convey. It was okay. Yes, this is a change they had to make in order to get this equivalent of the E rating in Japan, although. What the real story is, oh, we'll never know.
Yeah.
Thanks to wonderful reporting
across
the media.
Well, it is on Kotaku, so. Okay, yeah. Well, that's...
It's good times.
That's interesting.
I'm just going to keep it right here, and I'm just going to continue to look at it throughout the show.
Okay.
Cool.
Now you want to talk about OnLive?
Yeah, let's talk about OnLive.
Okay, so I guess here's the thing. I haven't been following gaming media very much. I mean, I read the old RSS feeds and whatever, but I haven't come across that much about OnLive. But everyone I talk to seems to be discussing media coverage of OnLive. So I don't know where that coverage was.
It's a hot topic, I think.
It was on a lot of
sites.
A lot of people mentioned it, and a lot of people were talking about it.
All right. So, Rich, I'm going to challenge you to summarize the OnLive service in 5 sentences or less.
Okay. OnLive is basically a way to play games where the games run on an actual server, and it streams a video to your TV or computer screen so that you can play those games.
So you're not running the games locally.
We're not running the games locally.
All you have is a controller.
We just have a controller. You either have the micro console that basically just processes video and game input controls.
Looks like a little miniature hard drive.
Or
but it's not.
You have it running on a Mac or a Windows PC.
Which is simply an interface to the internet.
Yeah. Basically, you're just running an application that connects to the server, which runs the game.
Kind of like Hulu, but interactive.
Kind of like Hulu.
And you're playing a game on the other side.
You're playing a game. And, yeah. And everything's, you know, all the saves are on the server.
But they claim it's 720p high def.
But apparently you said it's not. Because that's what everybody says.
Well, it is.
It might be 720p high def, but it's compressed video that comes to your screen.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
wonderful,
is no longer 720p
wonderful
high def.
Compression.
Yeah.
Their secret super proprietary compression algorithm that looks like it's definitely some.
What I really would like to see, and I didn't get to see, I would like to have seen full motion video cutscene, which doesn't really exist in a lot of games these days.
No.
But how about just a very crisp cutscene?
Yeah.
Where you're not looking at rendered graphics, meaning, okay, yeah, not on the fly rendered graphics.
I saw that at GDC.
I want to see
pre-rendered
stuff being transferred so you can better identify the compression artifacts.
See, well, I disagree, though. I think it's actually easier to see the compression when you're playing the actual game rather than some kind of already compressed
video. I don't know, man. Like, so I don't want to rag on it too much. Like, I was playing Burnout Paradise, and it looked really good.
Uh-huh.
Like, it didn't.
How big of a screen were you playing on, though?
It was a big screen, dude.
A big screen? Like a 50-inch?
It wasn't
like
a 50-inch. It was probably like a 30-something.
That's not big.
It was probably a 37.
Yeah, that's not big.
I could be wrong. I don't remember it that well. It could have been a 23.
Rich has at least 64-inch.
Well, I'm saying if it's a 37-inch screen, you have to be standing 4 feet or closer to really notice a difference.
Anyway.
Okay, let's not get into this morass.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Listen.
It does.
It looked really good, right? It didn't look like absolute junk. They claim that it was running off of servers that were off-site, like the real OnLive mm-hmm. servers
right.
In like San Jose or something. And we were in San Francisco, so that's not right next door, although it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been stress tested. And other people who have complained about this, saying that it could never happen, pretty much say that you'd need a machine running just this game. So basically, a single machine per person, per play session, right?
Well, it has a lot of good ideas. Like, from what I was reading about it, it sounds really cool on paper.
It's just a dumb terminal. For anybody familiar with that term, it's a dumb terminal. But have a keyboard, which is a controller, and a monitor, mm-hmm. and then it goes to someone else's computer, uses their computer, and then streams whatever's important back to your screen. Mm-hmm. But it does it really fast. It does it fast enough that you can interact with the game.
Yeah, and well, the first problem I
didn't
see
notice.
Is
I totally noticed.
Leg issues. It is obviously the
and that's
first
what
thing
everyone
I noticed.
Said.
In being 15 miles away from the servers,
well,
I'll
give you guys my take really briefly on this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for games that are not action games, for turn-based games, totally awesome.
Oh yeah.
All day long, I'll do this. I don't know. For people who really care about games and who are huge dorks like I am. I would definitely not get it to play action games because, you know what? I mean, I've seen worse kinds of, I don't know. It doesn't drop frames in a horrible way, but you know what? Like, it gets slow sometimes. Sometimes frames are dropped.
So let's give our one-sentence expectation. Do you think it's going to be something real, or you think it's just going to be
it'll
lame?
It'll be real. It won't be big.
I think it'll be real.
Somebody
for
else
people
will do
who,
it better later.
Who aren't too serious about games if it's cheap enough. That's my bottom line.
Okay.
Somebody else will do it better later.
Not for nerds. Might work for the mass market.
All right. Well, I guess that's all we have to say. We'll be back after the break.
And we're back. It's the final segment for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And I'm going to give out the phone number It's 866-536-1100 if you would like to call us. Maybe maybe we ran into you at GDC. Maybe we inadvertently drop-kicked you or did something. Or
so
maybe we were
baby.
Next to you.
I'm worried that our discussion of things like on live leave way too much to be desired from our listeners who might not know what this is. Yeah. Or other things that we talk about. We're not clear on it. So
well, we like for the listeners to be smart enough to fill in the blanks.
What's our summary of this? Like basically we think it's full of crap.
I think it has a lot of really good ideas that I think if somebody else does it would work out a lot better. Like take parts of it that work and leave the parts that don't. Like
but
Microsoft,
we don't know what those parts are right now.
Yeah, I mean, but part of what they have is this whole everything's on the cloud. You know, everybody's talking about cloud computing, this and that, blah blah blah. But like it has this idea where you can just play it and save the game, and then your save file is going to be saved on a server somewhere. So then when you log in with your profile, you can then just start where you left off. And this is one thing I really want to have now that I have a PC that runs games well as a 360. I think Microsoft is really dropping the ball as far as I should be able to play a game on my 360 and save it and have that same game as a Games for Windows title, and I could just play it on my PC later. Like it depends if I'm in my room or in the living room or if somebody else is using 360. But I mean it's just like a seamless experience between the PC and the home console that they could take things from on live and integrate it into the whole Games for Windows 360 thing.
I don't think Microsoft or any other hardware manufacturer is going to go for this at all.
Yeah.
Not running on a server. I mean, the games would still be running on your system, but I think they could do a lot more in having a seamless experience between either home computer or home console. But
I don't have an opinion on it right now. That's what I think I'm trying to say.
Well, I think it's just going to come down to the price, really, right? I mean, it's only valued relative to how much they're going to ask for it. So
well, it has to work well. No matter what they charge for it, it has to work well.
Well, no, I mean, if it's I would pay a really cheap price to try out some games in a crappy way that is the cheapest way for me to try out certain mm-hmm. games. So
it's kind of like Gamefly service without having to own the console.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Seemingly unlimited number of games. The library would change. I mean, obviously it is a limited number, but you always have new games that you want to play. I assume it's going to be just a subscription model. They haven't announced pricing for it at all.
Well, they said, yeah, it'd be like a yearly subscription or a monthly subscription just for the service itself. And then you could either buy the game or you can like rent it for like a 5-day period. They said you could do that as well on a lot of the titles. So
buy the game?
You can actually buy the game.
That really goes against their model.
No, so you basically pay $40, so you own that game, and now you can play it whenever you want, wherever you want. Where if you rent the game, you can play it for 5 days, and then you don't get to play it anymore.
Oh, but you still have to be connected to them, so you don't actually get the data.
Yeah, so you have to pay a service to be part of the entire system, and then you pay for the specific games that you're wanting to play.
What a racket. Back in the day, you would have to actually produce a product to sell it to somebody. These days, you just make data once, and you can reproduce it without limits. As long as people are willing to
pay. But, I mean, they have to sell the game because they can't just give the game to everybody who just subscribes to it, because they have to have some deal with the publishers to say, well, this many people bought the game from us, so then we're going to give you X amount to the publishers. Because they can't just be like, oh, we're just going to give you the publishers this amount, and then we're just going to let people play it as much as they want.
Well, that's sort of the point if it's a subscription model.
But I mean, Xbox Live is a subscription model, but then you have to buy the game separately still, is kind of how it...
I think we're getting off track here.
All right.
Let's talk about this EDAR business.
EDAR. Kind of fascinated me a little bit. So when we talked about GameStop and Amazon...
What's EDAR?
When we talked about GameStop and Amazon and the used games thing, we talked about... how there was this analyst company who had made some statements, right? So what we were really talking about was Dan DiMatteo making statements, but there was also these analyst people who were quoted in mm-hmm. some article, right? And then I realized right after we had talked about it, I got an email from EEDAR, that's EEDAR, stands for the Electronic Entertainment Design and Research, even though they use an ampersand and not the word and. So Electronic Entertainment Design and Research. That's the name of the company. This email is, it says, my name is Jesse Divnich, Director of Analyst Services with Electronic Entertainment Design and Research, EEDAR. Just published a 37-page report and full analysis on the recent entry of Amazon into the used games market. Blah, 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 blah. The survey, the report surveyed more than 50 game SKUs across a two-day period at several GameStop locations and through Amazon's online search tool. The report contains the following: a data table consisting of the trade-in, of the trade-in used and new price of 59 applicable SKUs. Comparable comparable analysis of 13 different scenarios between GameStop and Amazon. 13 different scenarios? I don't even know what that means. between GameStop and Amazon that are common among consumers using a retailer's trade-in program. In-depth analysis. That's the part that I don't quite
like. In-depth analysis?
In-depth analysis. Oh. What does that really mean? On the threat of Amazon, Toys R Us, Blockbuster, Hollywood Video, Best Buy, and other retailers to GameStop's used business. Now, I got to be honest. I didn't go to analyst school. I don't know how you become an analyst, and I don't really know what an analyst does other than talk out of his ass. Now, we've talked to analysts before. We had Ron on the phone. He kind of does that stuff. But what he doesn't do is send me emails offering to sell me this 37-page PDF for $500.
So some analysts are con men and some are not.
I believe what this is a guy who may or may not have finished college, likes video games, and knows how to look on Amazon's website for how much money they'll give for a video game.
And enjoys money.
Sends out this...
He analyzes it.
He sends out his analysis with a company name on it to places like whatever that website is that I quoted a few weeks ago.
And apparently Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Well, no. So he actually... I'm guessing he actually sent it to them to get his name out there in some big websites. Joystick mentioned it, Kotaku mentioned it, whatever. And then sends it to everybody else saying, oh, and by the way, you can buy this report, which you may have seen in other places. He didn't say that, but you can buy this report for $500. And then since then, I've gotten two other emails just talking about their analysis of the game industry. One was before this email and another was afterwards. I really think it's just one dude who is making himself an analyst and maybe went to GDC and got a list of all the press that was there or something.
Well, so, it's interesting. I mean, usually these things are marketed to companies.
How do you
right?
become an analyst of gaming industry?
Well,
you just say that you are.
I mean, there's no accreditation, whatever that would mean.
No,
anyway.
All he has to do, you know what you'd want to do, listeners? Listener, I'm talking to you, listener. You call GameStop and you ask how much money they're going to give you for a game and ask if they have any specials if you combine it with other stuff. Then call a different GameStop and ask for a couple different games. And then call a different GameStop, because there's a lot of them, and ask about a couple of different games, because they don't publish their trade-in amounts.
Or
then go to Amazon, where they're all published online. And that's it. Then write a 37-page BS report.
Or you could just go to, like, Cheapest Gamer, where they have all the updated worth values of games from GameStop.
Well, if you're going to write a report, you should get it firsthand. But yes, you could do that. Right, and I'm sure there are forums, Cheapest Gamer.
Yeah,
people already do this without spending.
They do. They update it all the time.
It just amazes me. I guess I should be applauding this guy for his genius
in some ways.
Losing his job in the recession and then creating a new one out of thin air.
Well, there's certainly a kind of, I don't know, you can call it a market, I guess, for selling these weird kinds of products that are so expensive that only companies, corporations could ever hope to buy them, right? And they're kind of like tailored for them, right? And they're kind of like, you know, like all of the flowery language that you extolled over the airwaves about it. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
It's like, okay.
Okay. Well, I was awfully impressed.
I wish I had that job.
By the balls on this guy.
Yeah.
Because every email I get is directly from Jesse Divnich, and he's going to go down as my D-bag of the month, possibly D-bag of the year.
Can I make two random statements somewhat related to this?
Random? No, but thought out, yes.
Somewhat related to what we're talking about.
Okay.
One being, Alon, I've already told you about this, that I found interesting, is that my brother was telling me how his friend went to Trading Gears of War 2, and GameStop wouldn't let him. And that was awesome.
I was actually thinking about
that
today.
He went to trade it in, and GameStop's like, no, we have too many copies of Gears of War 2. We're not going to buy that from you.
Yeah, I do think that's awesome. Cool.
Second random note, in relation to Amazon, on DS, both in North America and the UK regions, Professor Layton in The Curious Village was the best-selling DS game over the last couple weeks.
Yes, and do you know where that game comes from?
It comes from Level 5, published by Nintendo.
Okay, yeah, fine. All right.
And the game's awesome. And it definitely outsold the new Pokemon game and GTA 4 or GTA Chinatown Wars. So that's kind of cool on Amazon.
Okay.
But
the game's been out for a year.
But you know what other game has an English-sounding name and is better than that?
What?
It's Harry Hatsworth.
Is it better?
It is better because I'm saying so.
Oh, okay. Because right. Professor Layton was awesome.
Because someone who worked on the Red Star was the lead designer for that game.
All right, we'll have to play it.
And it has,
not you.
And it's not me, actually.
All right, yes. Well, listen, before we go, I need to remind everybody once again about our fantastic sponsor. Thank you, University of Advanced Technology.
Excellent.
All right. I wonder if we actually got any useful information out today.
I don't know.
I think we did a little bit. Look, we talked about boobs. That's what's really important.
Boobs and world gaming. World gaming, really, I'm very interested. I'm very curious about how this goes. I want to hear about our listeners signing up, and I don't care if it's free or paid. Just join some tournament and tell me how it goes. Tell me what you think of the process, and maybe we can even hook you up with something from the founders, because I'm sure I've got one of their cards somewhere.
And maybe you can grow up to hustle in pools.
Yeah, exactly.
Pool bars.
We'll be back next week. Right, as guys. Always, if you have any questions, email us, chatterboxgameshow.com. Thank you.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.